Three seasons in the year, we're commanded to take up an offering. And those three seasons of Passover, Pentecost, and also Tabernacles as well, they're divided up into the holy days, and we therefore take up the offerings on the commanded assemblies, where we are commanded to assemble together, and their convocations, so we actually take them up at that particular time, and seven times throughout the year. The only question is, who does the money go to? Who does the money go to? Well, turn with me, if you would, please, to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, because as we give an offering today, we need to keep this really firmly in mind, what is it being said here in Malachi chapter 3. If we pick it up in verse 1, it says, "Behold, I'll send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." And we're looking at John the Baptist initially, yes, but it's Mr. Armstrong who we look to as far as the one who was sent before the return of Christ to actually bring knowledge to the world and to also to each and every one of us as well. "But to prepare the way before me, and the Lord, who you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple." Now that temple is a spiritual temple, and we're certainly, hopefully we're all part of it. "Even the messenger of the covenant," that's the Christ himself, "who you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Eternal of Hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming?" Or who is going to be sustained in the day of his coming is another way of translating that. "And who shall stand when he appears?" You know, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. So as the Son of Man appears, who is going to stand? Who is going to either rise from the grave or stand there physically as he actually appears? "For he's like a refining fire and a full of soap." If we skip down to verse 6, it says, "For I am the Eternal." Now notice who he's actually talking about, who's actually addressing this. It's the Eternal, the one that became Jesus Christ, is actually saying these words. "I change not." And we know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever from the book of Hebrews. "Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers you have gone away of my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you." So again, says the Eternal of Hosts. It's the Eternal of Hosts is speaking. But you say, how are we going to return? He says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." So the one we give offerings to, one we give tithes to, pay our tithes to, is not to COGIW, it's not to John Bold, it's not to any human being. We pay our offerings to Jesus Christ, to this the Eternal God. He says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even the whole nation." Now that's hopefully not true of each and every one of us. But I want to just briefly bring this out, because to remind us of who it is that we actually pay offerings to. It is not to anybody which is human. We pay those offerings to the representatives, the actual head of the government, the coming government of God. We actually, it's the system that God is going to use in the millennium. It's the governmental system of actually raising revenue. The same as we have taxation today, well, they're going to be tithes and offerings in the future. And that is the taxation system. And we actually exist here in this present world that we find ourselves in. We exist as ambassadors, we exist as strangers, as pilgrims of this world. And we're not, this is not our age, this is not our world. And really, atonement is a vital part of that picture. It's a vital part of seeing all this confusion. I mean, when you think about the kind of taxation that we've got today within the nations that we find ourselves in. Now, we've got VAT, we've got fuel duty, we've got... you can go on and on and on. The inheritance tax, the latest one is now coming up with a mansion tax. Anybody that's owning a home that's over 2 million, and quite frankly in London you do get places over 2 million quite readily. I think actually Mr. Nick Clegg himself, is it? He's got something that he bought at about so many 100,000, he's now worth about 36 million or something. Something like that, I read the other day. But You see the system of government that you find within the world. I know when Mr. Mitt Rooney was making some kind of comment about how he was pointing people in a certain direction. Mr. Obama said, well, he is actually for all the people, because he was making, I think Mr. Rooney was actually criticizing the people who were supporting Mr. Obama, because he was saying that they are reliant on the state to a large degree. But Mr. Obama was saying, well, he's supporting all people, and therefore he's looking for the votes from all people. And this is what happens with a democracy. And we see this chaotic, confused governmental system. And yet our attitude towards offerings, our attitude toward tithing as well, but our attitude toward offerings, which is what I'm dealing with today, has got to be totally different. But why? Because it's of a different society, it's of a different civilization, it's of a different culture. It's a totally different from the Babylon of this world. Turn over to John, if you would, in John 18. Because these two worlds clashed here in John 18, when Christ was led before Pilate. And in verse 33, he says, "And then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And Jesus answered him and said, 'Do you say this of yourself, or did others tell it of you of me?' And Pilate says, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?' And Jesus answered and said, 'My kingdom is not of this world, not this order of things, not this society, not this way of doing things. If my kingdom were of this world, if it was going to do things the way this society does things, then my servants would fight, because that's the way this society operates.'" You know, if it was that tithes and offerings were offered according to the world system of doing things, we'd be doing it the same way as it's done in Germany. And I don't know whether you realize, but in Germany and in many other European countries, you can actually, the church, if they have membership, they can get the government to collect the church tax. There's a church tax that is levied, of a, you know, dating, presumably pointing back to the tithes, but a church tax, and normally about 8% apparently it is. But they get the government involved in actually getting that money and then being paid from the government back into the church coffers. And I believe it's something like 10 million, no, it's 10 billion. I think it's something like 10 billion euros is gathered in that way for the Catholic Church alone. But, you know, if it was, if the kingdom was of this world, then we would be doing things the way the world does things. But this kingdom is not. It says, "Then my servants fight, but I shouldn't be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from here. It's not of this order of things. It's not the way it is." So as we give our offering, we're not doing it the way the world gives offerings and tithes and church taxes and everything else. We're doing it to Jesus Christ. We're doing it in the way of the future government that we're looking forward to. It's not a present reality and a future hope. It's a present hope and a future reality. The exact reverse of what was foisted on us. And we are looking forward, which is present. It's a hope that we're looking forward to that kingdom. We're looking forward to that time when the entire monetary system is going to be very different. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered and said, "You say that I'm a king. To this end I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth." And it's the truth that has actually put us into the church. The fact that we believe God and we have the truth and we're looking forward to that kingdom. Because that is the part of the essence of the very truth itself. And certainly we pay our tax, we pay our tax to the government. But we do so as ambassadors. We do so as strangers and pilgrims in a foreign land. But this, the offering, is different. The offering is something for our country, for our land, for our civilization that we're looking forward to. And that's what it's for. And we pay it to the head of that civilization, which is Jesus Christ, and in the hope for the future and the future time that we're looking forward into. So that's the attitude of mind. It's the attitude of mind I'm trying to zero in on today in the offering sermonette. The attitude of mind is very different from the tax of this world. Very different from the way the world does things. It's got to be according to the new world that is coming and the new order of things which is arising. And let's turn over to Revelation 18, and just look at some of this attitude of mind that we should have when we're contrasting the two systems. Because So often we live in this world, we live in this system, we can adopt the system's ways, and we shouldn't be doing that. It says here in Revelation 18, verse 1, eventually, this is coming after Christ has returned. It's the time when Satan is about to be bound and actually put into the bottomless pit. And it's the head-to-head between the Babylonian system and the system of God, of which we are representatives. And he says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven," in verse 1 of chapter 18, "having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen," this way of confusion. And as I say, you only have to look at the taxation system, the benefit system, the welfare system, and the forms that have got to be filled in to understand the confusion and total chaos that there is in today's world. It's not like that. We're not part of that system. Although we have to submit ourselves to it, we do so as ambassadors and as strangers. "We cry mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitation of demons and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of the fornication." It doesn't matter what nation we actually live in. We've drunk of that system. We've been partakers of that system. "And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you are not partakers of her sins, that you do not receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." That day is eventually going to come. Eventually the system that we currently find ourselves in is going to go and be something of the past. This day is crucial to it, absolutely crucial to it. But as we take up the offering today, just think and just have the attitude and frame of mind as to where this money is going. It's not going to that system. It's got to go to another system. It's got to be handled. Those of us that are actually handling that money have got to handle it in a different way. We've got to administer it in a different way. We've got to administer it for that coming government, for that coming rule of Jesus Christ. And so as we take the offering up today, let's make sure that our attitude and frame of mind is towards that end and towards that direction. And as we do so, I do have a psalm that has been pre-recorded. It was pre-recorded about 10 years ago now. But it's Psalm 110, which is very fitting. It talks about actually piling the bodies up in the streets. And it certainly focuses very much so on the rule of Jesus Christ and the beginning of that rule. So as we listen to the words of Psalm 110, we'll actually have the offering for today.